the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Wednesday, August 6th. I'm Ala Kuziz. The Tennessee Williams Festival St. Louis has spent 10 years making the case for the city's importance to the great playwright who lived here as a young man.
He salutes St. Louis in so many of his writings. He never forgot us, and the influence is there throughout.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin speaks with the founder of the 11-day festival. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. After a year-long investigation into St. Louis Public Schools' finances, the Missouri State Auditor's Office gave the district a poor rating. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
At a press conference, Missouri State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick laid the blame for the mismanagement of public funds at the feet of the SLPS Board of Education.
These problems exist in the essential functions of the budget process, where it's been well documented that the school, the district, is on a path to bankruptcy.
Fitzpatrick launched his audit last year after former Superintendent Keisha Scarlett was placed on leave for offering high salaries to top district leaders without board approval. She was later fired by the board. Scarlett could not be reached for comment. Some of the questionable charges include nearly $4,000 at Topgolf, about $1,700 for an unexplained hotel stay at Caesar's Palace, and more. The district has since implemented new credit card and travel policies. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County Executive Sam Page remained silent yesterday about an indictment over a mailer he sent out regarding a countywide ballot item. Page attended his first county council meeting since a grand jury indicted him on misdemeanor election offenses and felony stealing charges. He's accused of breaking state law against using public money for a mailer regarding a failed proposition that would have allowed the council to fire his department heads. Page didn't mention the indictment during his weekly report. Councilwoman Rita Days of Bell North says it's up to Page about staying in his job.
If he figures that he can handle all of this with the personal issues that he has, that's his prerogative. I will not be calling for his resignation or anything like that. That's something that he has to deal with on his own.
Page is due in court later this month. The Clayton Police Department says it's investigating a fire as a hate crime. Officers responding to the 7500 block of Westmoreland Avenue just after 3 a.m. yesterday found three vehicles with fire damage. They also found anti-Semitic graffiti in the roadway. The fire appears to have been deliberately set. The department said in a statement it believes the victim was targeted and there's no ongoing threat to the community. The FBI and Regional Bomb and Arson Squad are helping with the investigation. St. Louis is looking for a new leader for its long-troubled downtown jail. Officials announced yesterday that Commissioner of Corrections Doug Burris will not stay once his short-term contract expires. Mayor Kara Spencer says the jail remains a priority for her and that she has visited the facility twice since the May 16th tornado.
We first invited the entire oversight board to join us. Many members did. And just last week, we took an unannounced visit with the chair of the board and our public safety director.
Burris was brought in by former Mayor Tashara Jones to guide the troubled jail, where 20 detainees have died in the last 5 years, including two during Burris's tenure. The city posted the opening for Commissioner of Corrections on its website last week. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer paused the city's minority and woman-led business enterprise program this week because of pressure from the federal government to change its diversity programs. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, officials are working to revise the contract program.
Otis Williams leads the St. Louis Development Corporation. He says the city recently received a concerning letter from the federal government, which pushed officials to examine its diversity programming. The city hasn't discontinued current minority or women-owned construction project contracts, but it will not take on any new ones. To help the city move forward, Williams says officials hired a consulting firm to advise them on approaches toward inclusive construction contract programs.
The issue is that we need to understand where we are, what the best practices are, and what are the recommendations that we need to have going forward.
Williams says the consultant will review all of the city's disparity studies. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Some beer in St. Louis and nationwide contains PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports on a recent study.
The research institute RTI International conducted the first large-scale study that found that there is a correlation between the chemicals in an area's drinking water and its beer. The study was led by Jennifer Hoppenick-Redman. Redman and her team studied 94 canned beers from 23 brands, including a nationally distributed brand from St. Louis County.
The beer that we tested in the St. Louis area, we did identify detectable PFAS in beer, but we did not identify that it exceeded the health standards.
Some beers from North Carolina and Michigan did exceed the EPA's health standards. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Tennessee Williams Festival St. Louis starts its 10th season tomorrow night with a streetcar named Desire at the Grandel Theater in Grand Center. The 11-day festival continues with special performances and other events throughout the weekend. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin asked Executive Artistic Director Carrie Houck what inspired her to start the event a decade ago.
I started going to Tennessee Williams festivals. The most famous one was in New Orleans, and then there was another one in Provincetown, Massachusetts, and then a couple in Mississippi. And it just puzzled me that we didn't have one here, because I grew up hearing about Tennessee Williams and, oh, that's where Tennessee Williams grew up. Or this is the shoe factory where he wrote about in the Glass Menagerie.
Well, like T.S. Eliot, Tennessee Williams is a writer who is from St. Louis but mm-hmm. became more associated with other places. People think of New Orleans where Streetcar is, or the Deep South. Have you heard from people who were surprised when they learned about the importance of St. Louis in Tennessee Williams' life and work?
Well, I think what most St. Louisans thought for years was, oh, he hated St. Louis.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone dismissed him. But he didn't like his circumstances in this city. His family life was fraught. He had to work in an administrative job when he had the soul of an artist. So it wasn't really about our beautiful city. It was about his circumstances. Mm. And if you look at his work, Jeremy, you'll see that he salutes St. Louis in so many of his writings. He never forgot us, and the influence is there throughout.
In addition to performances, you have all sorts of other events to put the work in context, right? What sorts
yes.
of other...
Well, now we're up to an 11-day festival. On our first Saturday, we have almost a full day of scholarly events. Tom Mitchell is our scholar, and he's well-known in the Tennessee Williams world. And they've really caught on. You know, they weren't our best-attended events in the beginning, but now they're really very well-attended. We have a Tennessee Williams tribute that we do every year. This year we're celebrating, in particular, the play A Streetcar Named Desire. I've included in the tribute readings actors who have been with us since day one or along the way.
Carrie, who's your audience and where do they come from?
Our audience is from St. Louis, but in the recent years we're becoming a destination festival. And what I love about what we've developed over our 10 years with our community is this. Because we don't always perform in a theater, because we do site-specific work, which draws people who don't necessarily go to the box office and buy a ticket, we've really expanded. The year we did the Glass Menagerie during the pandemic, we performed outside at the building where the Williams lived when they moved to St. Louis. Menagerie.
And that's a play which, of course, takes place, a lot of it in his apartment where he's living.
Yes, in this very building. So when Tom Wingfield is on that fire escape, which he was on during our production, it was almost surrealistic to imagine that that it was really happening as it did. And what I loved about that year was we had people just come from down the street or around the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just was very heartwarming to see different generations and different segments of our city being exposed to really terrific theater. We brought the National Theater of Ghana to perform an early version of Camino Real called 10 Blocks on the Camino in different neighborhoods in St. Louis. I hope to continue to do work like that. We hope to do something site-specifically just as a little holiday offering before the end of this calendar year.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, most likely. My wheels are turning.
I can tell. I can feel that.
That was Carrie Houck, founder of the Tennessee Williams Festival St. Louis, speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Tracy Tong edited that story. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Ala Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.